Promise 19, and I'll read it three times. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it," when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. Isaiah 30:21. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it," when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. Isaiah 30:21. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it," when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. Isaiah 30:21. First, a little Eugene treatise on God's sovereignty, predestination, free will, choice, chosenness, all of that. To me, the beauty of God's perfect, overwhelming, all-encompassing, all-seeing sovereignty is that it frees us from the burden of our absolutely having to absolutely know. And right there, I know I'm offending both halves of my potential listening audience in differing ways. The Calvinist, because he absolutely knows that God already knows and has already chosen, and the freewheeling, free-willing Arminian, because he absolutely knows that God has given him choice to choose. Fine. But for my Calvinist brothers and sisters, your knowledge that you are chosen stems from an experience, or at the least a perception, of having at one point in time made a choice. You consciously, in the words of Paul from Romans 10, admitted your sin, believed in Jesus, and confessed your need for salvation unto and into the perfect way of the Savior. Your chosenness, most likely, was a theological understanding you picked up after the fact. Good for you. For my Arminian friends, you free willers, there's no question in your mind that you also made the above personal choice. Like I just described, you admitted, believed, confessed, and by your own personal volition, made a decision to be saved by and to follow Jesus of Nazareth. Of course, should that individual decision fit within a pre-established framework of complete divine knowledge, well, at least it still felt like a choice. My point is, perception shades both of these theological viewpoints. We may be totally without free will, and yet our daily life, our salvation experience, feel like we made a choice for ourselves. We may think we have and had a totally free will at every point in our life thus far because it felt, regardless of the potential reality of God's complete knowledge and foreordaining, like we made the choice for ourselves. And FYI, for both points of view, there are plenty of scriptures that back up the perception, experience, and theology of both. Easy answers make for received ideas. Received ideas make for unthinking followers of Jesus. Unthinking followers of Jesus tend to forget the purpose of their earthly lives and tend to never get down to the actual business of the kingdom. The business of the kingdom is the actual way of Jesus of Nazareth, the purpose of his life, the seeking and saving of the lost. Anything that gets in the way of our relishing our new life in him and then turning around and doing as he calls us to do is not useful. It's fun to feel right about some obscure or even seemingly overt piece of doctrine. It's more fun to follow Jesus to the end of yourself, which, treatise complete, is the joy of this promise. You and I are promised today that whether we turn to the right or the left, and you see why I did my treatise there, there will be a voice behind us. Your ears, your heart, your spirit will experience a personal visitation of his presence, manifested in a word that leads you always along his way. "This is the way, walk in it," we're promised to hear. But again, whether you turn to the right or the left, whether you made this decision or that, whether you're Calvinist, Arminian, faded, or free, his voice is with you. You can seek his peace for any decision, confidently make the choice you believe he's leading you toward, and then on that path, seek his way there. No need to wait around forever on things. No need to hang your head, to even bang your head against interminable walls. No need to question if this one decision, this one move, this one point in time will somehow fate you away from his way. So today, what if instead we boldly lived this day within the framework of this promise and, big decision or not, listened? What if in the choosing of your first to-do this morning, instead of simply launching in, you said, Jesus, what do you think? What if instead of submitting your day to the harrying rhythms of absolutely everyone around you, you quietly gave each decision, each move to the Master? I promise you, it will be a better day that way. It will actually be perceptibly more interesting. It will feel like it's chosen for you, and it will feel like your free will's intimately involved.